give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Nice to be back together again tonight. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Thank you, brothers, for Brother William, Brother Isaiah. I don't think anybody's keeping score here. We're just glad you're here. Amen. Thank you for bringing your mix of fire here tonight. Just helping to make this a special night. Every time we come together to gather together with him, it's special. But it's extra special when others of like precious faith come and join and use their gifts for the edification of the body, and we certainly do appreciate it. God bless you. And thank you for visiting a lot of places you could be, but you've decided to come and be with us, so we thank you for that. Praise the Lord. I want to continue on a thought that we started on Wednesday night, and I'm kind of chopping it up each time, and we're trying to build a platform for where we ultimately want to get in future services. Romans chapter 16, we'll take our text from the 25th verse. Romans 16, verses 25 through 27, and then we'll also read from Revelation 22, verses 16 and 17. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, to plant you firmly, to place you, to put you in an unmovable and unshakable position, to set your roots. To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That was pretty bold of Paul to say that. According to your gospel. Yep. He was entrusted with the gospel to the Gentiles. And we receive that. We say amen. Amen. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Friends, we're not excluding anybody. We want everybody to come. And we know that there are people at different levels and with different inheritances, whatever. But if there's something there, come. Partake of it freely. Amen. And if we have a different attitude than that, then we might need to find an altar somewhere and see if we're following the same gospel that Paul established, because it will all point to Christ. Amen. So we want to title the thought here tonight, The Revelation of the Mystery, Part 3. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer tonight. Just lift your hand. Father, as we stand before you, Lord, we come as humbly as we know how, knowing that there's no good thing in our flesh and in ourselves, and Lord, any man can open a book and read from it, but it takes the author to bring the interpretation, to bring the understanding. And so we're depending on you tonight, Lord, to do just that, not only to place on our hearts the spiritual food in due season, but, Lord, for you to take that word and break it before us tonight and feed us upon your heavenly manna. And, Father, and to quicken it and make it live in our lives when we go out these doors tonight. Lord, so that as we face the world in the days to come, we've been equipped, we've been empowered, we you've raised up a standard, and Lord, your word is going before us, and we're so thankful for that. We thank you for the different gifts and the ministries. We thank you for our dear brothers that have saw fit to come and bless us with in song here tonight, Lord. And Lord, if there was more time, we'd fellowship around many more things. But we just so appreciate you moving on their hearts and them obeying the leading here tonight, Lord. And Father, may each one be blessed here. Lord, there are many that are out right now. You know all about it, and we've asked for your healing touch, Lord, and we're confident that you're going to raise them back up. But we pray that you bless them tonight as they listen in, no doubt. And Lord, those that will be listening in the days to come, we just ask your blessings to be upon each and every one, that you speak to us according to our needs. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we know that the revealed word of this day has called us out of the slavery of sin, and it's called us out of things that had us bound. And we know that everything's about power. We know that the things that had us bound, it was a power that had a hold of us. So it would take a power to set us free, right? So we're not just following cunningly devised fables or fancy words, and excuse me, but we're not just speaking a different language. We'll call it message speak, if you will. We're not just speaking a different language and having enticing words and what have you and things that tickle our imagination. But the word is power.
Yes, sir.
The revealed word, there's life, and it will produce. It's just that word is just looking for a believing heart, for faith, for a bedding ground for that word to fall down in, good ground, and it will bring forth what it was sent to bring forth. So we have been called out to commune with the word in this hour. We know that this is a calling out time, a calling out age, a calling out day, but it's not just a calling out, it's an exodus. So it's not just a calling out, but it's also a going in. And so we've been called out to commune with the word, to walk with the word. And we know that the word has been rejected. The word has been pushed out. So if we're going to have communion with the word, we got to go where the word's at. And the word is no longer in the organizations. The word is no longer walking in the midst of man. The day of man is coming to an end. So we've been called to walk in his presence. We've been called to, he's been put out, and we've been called to fellowship with him on the outside, outside the gate. And what a privilege it is tonight, friends, to be called into an Enoch walk in this hour, where he said, walk with me. And we said, oh, gladly. You know, Lord, forgive us for complaining that, you know, this person did this to us, or that person did that to us, or we feel like we're alone. You're privileged tonight. You're not alone. If you're called to walk with him, what more do you need? What more could you ask? What a privilege. I don't read anywhere in the story of Enoch. I don't read anywhere where Enoch was having a pity party because he didn't have a lot of BFFs. Best friends forever or for the week or whatever it is. Best friends until Friday. He was walking with God. And he was walking with him, and his relationship and his walk just got sweeter and sweeter as the days went by, till it got to the point where God said, you know what? I don't see a reason for you to go back home tonight. There's really nothing for you to go back home to. I'm your life. I'm your source. I'm your fellowship. Why don't you just keep on walking? Amen. And that's a type, friends, of the true church of the living God here in the end time. Amen. What a privilege it is to be called in this kind of a walk. We are now hidden away in him, and he has placed us upon the rock of revelation of his word. He's revealing his word to us. It's not just a book, but it's a new book to us, because he's the author himself is revealing to us what he meant by what he said. And that revealed word has power. That revealed word has supernatural power. It not only keeps you, but it's changing you from glory unto glory unto glory. So he's speaking to us in this hour. He's speaking to us lip to ear. He's speaking to us directly as individuals, and his word is being revealed to us individually. It's not an individual revelation, but the word that's been revealed, he is now teaching it to you individually, or whatsoever things you have heard. And it is empowering us to overcome in this darkest of all ages. There's power in this revealed word. Those that are walking away, the word was never revealed to them. They heard the buzzwords. They heard the phrases. They heard the techno speak, if you will. But this isn't about jargon. And this isn't about I know more than you or I'm smarter than you. And it isn't about starting another movement or another organization or building another kingdom. It's the very word that Paul brought. It's the very word that Jesus brought, being restored back once again in the church. And there's power in that word. Hallelujah. So things have been revealed to us in this age. And there's a supernatural power that comes with this revealed word. And this supernatural power, it's broken the bonds of the powers of hell that had a hold of us. We wanted to be free. And we wanted to stop doing this and stop doing that. We wanted to understand this or that. We wanted to be able to walk and live the word that was declared, the kind of life that was declared in the New Testament, that was described. We wanted to do that, but we couldn't find the power to do that. But there's a supernatural power in the word that's being revealed. God is, he's not only brought this power, friends, but he's dealt with our past, and he's predestined our future. So why is it so hard for us to believe here tonight that the same one that erased our past is also the author that writes our future? You say, but I got a choice. He knew what choices that you would make. And he wrote it accordingly so that you'll end up at the same spot. Whether you make the right decision or the wrong decision along the way, you'll end up at the right place because he wrote the script. Abraham went down to Egypt. God drove him back, right? He should have never left Egypt. The blessings of God was in the land. Well, he watched over him and he brought him back. Yeah. Friends, we were all born illegitimate because of our first birth. Every one of us was born based on a sexual act, based on sexual desire, the will of the flesh, the will of man. And just as Ruth the Moabite was illegitimate based on Lot intermixing with his daughters instead of the proper way of doing things. And so God took that Gentile Moabite and justified her to where she was now of a royal lineage. She just, initially she just wanted to be saved. She didn't care what she had to do. Your people will be my people. Your food will be my food. Your customs will be my customs. I don't care. I just don't want to die. Right? Not knowing that she was on the road to being a queen. To being the wife of this great man and of the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God took that Moabitish woman, justified her to where she was now of the royal lineage, and she would be a mother of that royal lineage. That royal lineage would carry on through her lineage. And friends, the power of the shed blood of Calvary, it allows God to dismiss that first birth. It allows God to divorce you of that first birth. And it allows God to give us life and give us liberty and give us power by being born from above. So God anointed the prophet Moses. And he anointed him with a mighty anointing in his day. We all know that, right? But Moses had too much work to do to look after the church all by himself. After all, he was just one man, and there was 2 million followers at that time, we understand. It wasn't a matter of the anointing. He had a sufficient anointing to do all of that. But there just wasn't enough of Moses. He's one man. So God took that very anointing and divided it amongst 70 men under Moses that he then put out over the people to minister to the people, to help the people. And so is it today, friends. That pattern is God always works according to certain ways, and he doesn't break his patterns. Brother Branham was sent with the message for this age, right? But he couldn't do all of the oversight of the church by himself. And excuse me, he's not our pastor. Now, he could have been the pastor of this church if he was here. You got to be here to pastor. But God didn't call this one man to do all of this by himself, though the anointing was there. So God has taken that anointing and he's placed it on men that he has raised up in this age to labor on behalf of the people under their prophet. And that spirit, friends, is still amongst us this evening and is still anointing men in order to bring God's people into his presence. And if it's a true anointing of God, that's their motive, that's their objective, that's their purpose. Everything is to bring you to Christ. Everything is to bring you into his presence. To bring you out of something and to bring you into something that's better. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Brother Bram says in the unveiling of God, he says, think. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Notice, the same pillar of fire that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that Paul met on his road to Damascus. And Paul wrote the New Testament. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only wrote what they seen. But Paul had the revelation. And he pulled it out. For he had met the pillar of fire himself. Amen. So Paul asked this very same pillar of fire a question when he met him on the road to Damascus. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He saw that it was the pillar of fire, so he knew who the Lord was. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer came back, "I'm Jesus." And the same one that caused Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, now as Jesus Christ, impressed on Paul to write this New Testament covenant. Again, Brother Branham says, and think of it. The same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire that's here today interpreting the Bible. So the same one that wrote it is the same one that's interpreting it. And he's proving it by bringing it to pass. And that is light. Oh, what a privileged people we are, friends. How we thank him for that, he says. Same. What a comfort. What an identification. I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know what I'd do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, and all the rest of them. Identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and revelation lays. And the church says, and you are privileged tonight. Friends, his presence is here. Amen. The power that we need is here. The revelation of the word is here. The book is open. It's our part now to surrender to it and say, I want to be a bedding ground to it. And the word will do what he said it was sent to do. And nothing will hold you, friends. There's supernatural power in this. While others, as our brother William sang that wonderful song, while others are going this way and that way, they never got a hold of him. They never came in contact with him. They never met that pillar of fire themselves. Because once you've met him, there's nothing to go back to. And there's a power in there. In fact, you couldn't go back. If you decided, I'm going to go back, you can't. Because there's a power there that's got a hold of you. You've already surrendered. You've already given your life to him. You've already become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can't become that old creature ever again. Your course has been set. Your destiny has been set. And there's a power that's hovering over you that's taking you to your destiny. It's taking you to your change of your body. And it's changing you. As you hear this word, it's changing you from glory unto glory unto glory. And it's bringing His image into manifestation in human flesh once again. And it's the power of this blood. It's the power of this word. Amen. It's not because we're stronger. It's not because we're better. It's not because we're smarter. It's not because we come up with some better language. It's because we met Him and surrendered to Him. And He's doing the work. And we are privileged to go along for the ride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let that sink in for a moment, friends. You are living in a day just like Moses did when Moses was writing the Old Testament. The same one that was with Moses is the same one that's with us this evening. Brother Branham may have left the scene, but God never did. In fact, He came to turn our hearts to Him, to introduce us to Him. That same one is with us today. And that same one is interpreting to us what He had Moses write. So you are catching the inspiration that Moses caught when God told him to write those books. You realize that people in the Old Testament weren't privileged like you and I to catch that? The Spirit hadn't been given. The price hadn't been paid. They were told, just be obedient. Just do this. And they found out they couldn't do it. Amen. But you are catching these books before this revelation came to us, before this inspiration came, they were stories. And I don't know about you, but I tended to look at some of these things and I thought, well, what do we need the Old Testament for? Right? In fact, there was a smaller version of the Bible that people chose to carry around, and it had the Psalms, I think, maybe, and the New Testament, right? Because, you know, Chronicles, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. What do I need to know that for, right? Why do I need to know these stories that we tell our children, right? That's the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. But once it comes open to you, as it did to our brother Paul, because it was the same anointing and it was the same presence that came to brother Paul to show him what Moses meant by what he said. That same anointing is here tonight. That same presence is here tonight. That same power is here tonight. Hallelujah. So you're living in Bible days. So imagine, if you will, for just a moment here tonight, imagine sitting in the very same camp at the time when Moses was hearing from God lip to ear and was writing what God was declaring, what God was saying to him. Imagine being there in Paul's day when the very same pillar of fire returned and was speaking to Paul and Paul was writing what was said in a New Testament of the Bible. And then imagine being there, knowing a light was appearing over Paul and was explaining to him what Moses wrote in the Old Testament. Paul saw the very same thing that Moses saw, right? The word comes by vision. So God gave the same vision to Moses or to Paul that He gave to Moses. We saw it repeat in our day. You know, Moses told us what took place in the garden. Then we have a prophet of God preaching in, 1956, and he's in Phoenix, water from a rock, fifth service. And he said, something happened last night that I didn't come to myself till about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, I was standing there on the platform and the visions were coming. He said, I saw Adam and Eve walking out of the garden, and I saw His arm around her, and God was standing there, and God was moved by what He saw, and He said, the Lord said, I'm going to do the very same thing in 4,000 years. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to go in a garden, and I'm going to choose death. in order to redeem my bride. And then he said, then I saw the vision change, and I saw this stoop-shouldered man that you could hardly even recognize, and he's dragging this cross. And he described it to us, and he said it went bumpity bumpity bump as the wood is. He saw this. He's not making these things up. These aren't just stories. He's seeing it by vision. And it doesn't matter, Brother Juan, that you didn't see that vision. You're privileged for him to tell you what he saw. And you believe it. And so you're actually seeing the same thing the prophet saw. That he's an eagle and so are you. You're a prophetic class of people. You're able to see these things. But you're not a prophet, so God doesn't give you the vision. The word comes to the prophet, but then the prophet brings it to the people. You are seeing what Moses saw. You are seeing what Paul saw. You are seeing what Jesus saw. You are seeing what our prophet saw in this last day. You are seeing what men of old that wrote the Bible saw. And you're getting the understanding. And it's moving from just some kind of a strange, disconnected story to something very personal. And it's supernatural. And there's power in that revelation. Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. You love him tonight? So as Paul said, in these last days, he's spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And these things are no longer a mystery to us. God is no longer silent, but he has roared as a lion in our day. And he's declaring what he has already revealed to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God should be finished, as he hath already declared unto his servants, the prophets. So as he's declaring these things, who can but prophesy? He's revealed to us the word in this last day in such power, in such vindication. There's never been a vindication. I challenge you tonight, pick somebody. Right. Even the Lord Jesus himself, right. 2,000 years ago, in that body, same Lord Jesus, but in that body, more was done in this day already than in any other. It's the same Jesus Christ. It's the same pillar of fire. But we're so privileged. More. It's over vindicated as far as I'm concerned. It's proved beyond dispute. You just have to want to disbelieve. The proof is there. So these things are no longer a mystery. And as we've been saying as we're going through these things, a mystery, it's a mystery because you don't understand what the meaning is behind it. But once it's revealed, it's no longer a mystery. It's simple. If it's still mysterious, you haven't got a hold of it yet. So he's revealed to us the word in this last day with such power and such vindication that the question now is, who can but prophesy? And we've been called to prophesy again. We'll get to that in just a moment. So as a result, the people who have heard the revelation of the mystery, they have received a new commission. Recall that the Great Commission has never been fulfilled, and that the Great Commission can't be fulfilled until our day. Jesus said, this gospel must be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. So if preaching is just, you know, preaching like they've done throughout the ages, a partial revealed word, if that's the Great Commission, then why didn't the end of the world come? Why didn't the rapture come? Right? But he said this gospel. The word that he was preaching, the full word, not a partial word, the fullness of the word. Hallelujah. So the Great Commission couldn't be fulfilled until our day. And it is being fulfilled. So the scriptures are being written a third time, if you will. But this time, they're being written in human flesh. They are written epistles that are being read of all men. In fact, what we're finding out, friends, is all the prophecies, they're speaking of a people, just as all the prophecies were speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came, he wasn't trying to be those prophecies. He wasn't trying to be those scriptures. He was those scriptures. Those scriptures spoke of him. Those scriptures identified who he was and what he would do. And he became the perfect fulfillment of those, because those scriptures were speaking of one that was to come, and that was him. The same is true in this day. There are scriptures that are written concerning the day that we're living in. And it's speaking of you, if you can receive it. You are the ones that that scripture is speaking about. You are the ones that God has predestined to be the fulfillment for that word to be fulfilled in your life. It's speaking of you. And you don't have to try to be that. You just surrender. Say, be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. So a new commission has been given, and that new commission is prophesy again. Take this book and eat it. Become one with it. And then prophesy again unto all nations, kindred, tongues, and people. So friends, we're not talking about taking what has been written and now adding to it, or taking away from it, or fundamentally changing it somewhat. We are prophesying again the things that have been unveiled in this generation, but they're in the Word of God. Otherwise, we'd have an issue with Paul when we have to face him. He said, if anyone thinks they're spiritual, let them first acknowledge that what I'm preaching is the words of life. What I'm preaching is the gospel. He's laying the foundation. He said, if an angel from heaven comes and preaches something different than what I brought, let him be accursed. So it's the same word, but it's open to us now. It's been restored. It's the faith that was once delivered to the saints that ended up writing a book of Acts. So, what has been unveiled in this hour is what was spoken to the prophets. And a commission is now on the ministry of this generation to preach that revealed word. To take it in living vessels and declare it, preach it. Some believe that the ministry should constrain themselves to teach Jesus only as a history lesson. And there are, unfortunately, misguided folks in our ranks that are embarrassed by mentioning Brother Brown's name too many times, because they think somehow it takes away from Jesus. And so their answer is, we just want to talk about Jesus, as if they're taking the high ground, right? Well, dummy, who do you think I'm talking about? The difference is, you're talking about the great I was. I'm talking about the great I am. Because that same one is here tonight. And the reason why I read about what he did is so I can recognize him when he's doing the same thing. So I'll recognize him in my day. The only God I'm ever going to know is the one that's here right now. Amen. Bible schools already do that. Bible schools teach about the great I was, but that's not fulfilling the commission. No. And as a result, there's no vindication there to back it up. Right. We have been commissioned, friends, to preach the second coming of the Lord. And this revealed word is preparing a bride for a rapture in this generation. And there's power in this revealed word to change your mortal body. We are under a commission tonight to say again what's on the tapes and books. But not as some dumb parrot with some little pea brain. I'm not, friends, a parrot can repeat things over and over and over. I need to be careful, because people always think you're picking on somebody, but I can't help it. I'm not picking on anybody. These examples happen for a reason. I went to special meetings one year, and a guy got up and sang a special. And he's singing, "Just Call Me Polly." You know, like Polly Want a Cracker, right? Because I'm just going to say what he said. Just say what he said. There's a statement that Brother Branham made in the message where he said, just say what the tape said, right? And so people have so misconstrued that and twisted it around to, oh, well, we're supposed to go and but, you know, as a brother that believes that, I named my son Micaiah. He refused to call him that because Brother Branham mispronounced Micaiah and said Micah. Right? Well, I can't help that. He mispronounced a few things. I don't say that. I don't even want to bring that up. But that's just humanness. Right? It didn't mean, well, you know, our pronunciation of it was wrong. You know, he also quoted scripture that doesn't exist. As we do sometimes. Right? Joel 2:38 or whatever, you know. Who cares? That's not the point. Right? But the thought is, just repeat what the tape says, or better yet, just play the tape. They don't even want you to say what the tape said. They want you to just play what the tape said. Right? Well, where do you think I'm getting this? Oh, you guys need to listen to the tapes. I do, probably more than you. But what's on that tape is in here now. Amen? The voice of God, I'm going to flatten some people, upset some people. I hope I don't. I'm not trying to. But it is not the voice of God on that tape. The voice of God is in here. And you hear what was said on that tape, and what's in you said, that's the truth. That voice is in you. Listen, if the voice of God is on the tape, then I get it. Let's just go around and play the tapes. Right? But that a voice is something that's living. What was spoken is true. What was spoken is the words of life. But the voice is a living voice. And that living voice will speak to you, through you, about you, for you. How could we be the final voice in the final age if it's not a living voice? So I'm going off on a little tangent here. What I wanted to get to was, so this guy gets up and he sings this song, "Just Call Me Polly." And people go, "Oh, that's real clever and that's real nice. Just call me Polly." And I thought, don't you ever call me Polly. I'm not some dumb bird that's in a cage that you can teach to repeat things. The devil can repeat all that. Why don't we just call him Polly? It's not a matter of saying it. It's a matter of having an understanding. It's a matter of you saying the same thing with understanding. And you've got to eat it and become one with it. And now it's in you. He said, "I'll teach you whatsoever things you have heard. I'll lead you into all truth." Now that word of life is coming out of you, and it is a living word, and it will do what it was sent to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's saying the same thing with understanding. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I feel bad that everybody doesn't get revelation. Right? And so if you aren't getting revelation, you'll do the next best thing. Well, you'll just stick with exactly what Brother Branham said. Right? Well, why not just play? Why not just get some tapes with Alexander Scorby reading the Bible to you? Right. Let's see how that works out. Will that fulfill the Great Commission?
No, sir.
Let's just play the Bible. Is that the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
Of course it is. So why don't we just send tapes of... Are you with me?
Amen.
Because it won't work. That's not God's provided way.
Amen.
Yeah. I hope I didn't shake you up, but actually I hope I did. If you needed to be shook up, I hope I did. Amen. This is not belittling anything. No. Actually, it's putting Christ where he belongs.
Right. Yeah.
Brother Brandon, everything he did was to point us to him. Yeah. Amen? He never pointed us to himself. And excuse me, the only reason he was sent is because of moi.
Right.
If it wasn't for me, God wouldn't have sent him. Can you imagine a scientist trying to expound on atomic power and the theory of relativity? And then to do that, he goes back to what, you know, Aristotle taught 3,000 years ago. How's that going to work? How's that going to work with what's unfolding in your day? How can he talk about present truths by referring back to another age that knows nothing about atomic power? How can we be relevant to this generation unless we dig into the things that have been revealed to us in our day? And there's power in that word. Oh, if we could just get, it's so simple. There's power in that word that's being revealed to you. And there's a force there. It'll free you from organization. It'll free you from wrong ideas, wrong teachings. It'll free you from habits. It'll free you from political pressure. It'll ultimately free you from this mortal body. Hallelujah. So we must first be willing to acknowledge the teachings of a prophet on the scriptures. And we put that first and foremost. We know the word comes to the prophet first and alone. And so we are under our prophet. We are under the messenger of our age, right? And then the revealed word is what catches the attention of the elect. And it's what pulls them out of the world and brings them into his presence. And it's that same revealed word that will take a bride into a rapture and into a body change. So let me ask you, how can we preach a rapture without preaching what has been revealed to us concerning a rapture? Because the faith for the rapture was never preached. If it would have been preached, there would have been a rapture. Hallelujah. Talking of a man, now don't take this the wrong way, but talking of a man in a one-piece robe that walked the shores of Galilee, that will not put rapturing faith in you. Well, how do I know that? Well, show me where it ever did produce a rapture. It's present truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we know that our sins are dealt with, we're covered in the blood, and we have fellowship with him and with one another. We've been commissioned, friends, to preach these things. But our last day commission is not being well received by the religious leaders of our day, and consequently by the masses of the people. We've been commissioned to repeat the things that have already been revealed, to prophesy again. Right? The things that have already been taught in our day, and to reconfirm them in the lives of the people. Every generation has to see the supernatural. Otherwise, we're just saying, Grandma said, Brother Branham said, Abraham said, you need to be able to say, God did this in my life, God did that in my life. You need to be an eyewitness. Praise the Lord. So to say the very same things again with revelation. So what Brother Branham was dealing with when he said, just say what the tape said. People were going and they were splicing the tapes. They were cutting them up and they were trying to make it say something different than what was already said. And so he said, don't do that. If you're going to say what the tape said, say what the tape said. Don't splice it, dice it, cut it. Don't make it say something else. So he was dealing with that issue. But he wasn't telling us, just be a Polly. Just be some dumb parrot. You know, my wife is convinced that she's had pets that talk, you know. She had a dog one time. She said it would say, I love you, Mama. I'm like, whatever. I'm convinced you could probably teach a parrot to repeat scripture. But is that going to put that parrot in a rapture? Is my tape machine going in a rapture? I'm pretty sure it's saying just what he said. But there's no life there. That's the point. The life is in the body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the days of David, God anointed David through Samuel to be king, to sit on the throne of Israel. But even though God had already anointed David to sit on the throne, he was not received as the king. And he was not allowed to sit on the throne in Jerusalem for many years. Actually, it was 7 years, seven church ages before. He was anointed king in Hebron. But then he was a fugitive and he was an outcast for 7 years among those that he was anointed and sent to rule over. And he was pushed out from the city of rulership. And he lived as a criminal, as a fugitive, from place to place, living in caves at times. They attacked him, and they wanted to destroy him because he was the anointed one. He, being on the earth, anointed of God, was a reminder to Saul that Saul's kingdom on the earth was finished, and that Saul was no longer anointed. That Saul had went the other direction. And Saul was without that anointing. And Saul's headship over Israel was now lifeless. Yet there was still a form. There was still a figure, if you will. This anointed message, friends, is a constant reminder to us today that the denominations, that their time is no more. And that there is a new king coming on the throne. And that there's no anointing, there's no power in the organizations. Just as it was with David, the vindicated and anointed word has been pushed out of the city and has been treated as a criminal and called all Beelzebub and all kinds of crazy things. And those in power, they want to destroy its influence among the people. And hold on to these people by their empty thrones. And it's a sign to them that their time is over. The time for organization, organized religion. The wheat plant has served its purpose. The life has left the wheat plant and has moved into the seed. So time is no more for the wheat plant. No wonder they pushed the vindicated interpretation of God's word outside of the city. But friends, they can't kill it. They can't run it off because it's coming into power. And it's speaking of a kingdom. And this kingdom is being ushered in. It's a spiritual kingdom now, but it'll be a physical kingdom very shortly. So while David was roaming about on the outside of the city, if you will. He was in a city of Bethlehem. And, we started touching on that. Why little Bethlehem on the service after Christmas? And looking into that, it was the humblest of cities. It was kind of the nobody. Why wasn't Jesus born in Jerusalem? But why little Bethlehem? Why the city Boaz and Ruth and Rahab and so on and so forth? Why this humble city? Why not the glorious great city? Why the house of God's bread? Why not Jerusalem? So David was wanting a cool drink of water from that city. And recall, he was in the caves and his valiant warriors, they fought their way through miles and miles to get David a drink of cool water from little Bethlehem. And of course, he poured it on the ground because he's recognizing that the king did not have his rightful place. And he's not going to drink from that. Pouring it out as a sacrifice. What a privileged people we are tonight, friends. So while David was roaming around outside of the city, there were Gentiles that rallied around David. And they became David's mighty warriors. They stood with David. No matter what others did, no matter what others said about him, they followed that anointed king. And they were sensitive to the very least of his desires. Now notice, he wasn't on his throne yet, but he was an anointed king. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is not on his throne yet either, but he's the anointed king. He's on his father's throne, but in the millennium, he'll be on his own throne, on the throne of David. So they followed that anointed king. They were sensitive to the very least of his desires. He wasn't ruling yet on the throne of Israel, but he was their king, nevertheless. And he was ruling, and he was their commander, and they were subject to him. And when he finally did come upon his throne, he took those very same warriors with him that had fought with him along the way, and he set them up in positions of leadership in the kingdom. Friends, one day King Jesus is going to come, and he's going to be seated in his own throne. He's going to move from his Father's throne to his own throne. And those that have stood with him, those that have fought for him, as he was an outcast along the way, they will be the very same ones that sit with him in his throne and rule and reign with him during the millennium. Today he is our king, but one day he will be ruler of the earth. And he's going to tear down every throne of man, every power. And he will set up a new throne that is above every power. And this bride will sit with him on the throne for 1,000 years and will rule and reign with him. And the church says,
amen.
And we are the children of that kingdom. So we've taken our place outside of the camp in order to follow that revealed word and in order to let it rule and reign in our lives. He was rejected. He was put without the camp. But he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come and sup with him and he with me. But you got to come out. This is a coming out age. Come out of her, my people. So we've taken our place outside of the camp to follow that revealed word and to let that word rule and reign in our lives. And many things have risen up to try to take our focus off of that word. And they're just distractions, friends. You know, at one point it was disbelieve the sign. Well, it was actually a distraction when it was believe the sign. Because it never was about believe the sign. It was the sign leading you to a voice. And as we've said many times before, if you're going to Lordsburg, there'll be a sign that says Lordsburg, 100 miles. So you follow that sign, you get a little closer. Here's another sign, Lordsburg, 50 miles. Then you go a little further. Next thing you know, you're in Lordsburg. And now you've been there for 30 years, and somebody wants to come along and tell you there's something wrong with the sign. What is your answer? There's something wrong with your brain. I'm here, aren't I? The sign was pointing me to a voice, and I heard that voice. Too late. There's the voice of the sign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I've said before, they don't argue about what they argue about. Well, you know, was he here when the cloud appeared? I don't care. All I know is what he told me. He said there was a cloud that came faster than a blink of an eye. He said you couldn't even blink your eye that fast. That's how fast it was. He said, I was caught up into that constellation. I was told to go east and the book would come open. Guess what? He went east. What happened? The book came open. These same ones are not arguing that. They want to argue about the cloud. Well, was it really there on the day? You know, that picture that was in Life magazine, that was taken a week later or a week before or whatever. I don't care. What does that have to do? Maybe it was there a week after, a week before. I don't care. All I know was, and we don't even need that picture. That's the whole point. How do I know that there was a bush that burned and it wasn't consumed? And Moses spoke to the bush and the bush spoke back. How do I know that? Just because Moses told me. I don't have, Life magazine wasn't there to take a picture. How do I know that that bush wasn't burning a week before he got there? Who cares? How do I know it wasn't burning a week after when hunting season was over or whatever? Who cares? How do I know it happened at all? Because he told me. And then he was told, go back and this is what's going to happen. Guess what? He went back and that's what happened. How do I know there was an Adam and Eve? And not Adam and Steve, like they say today. Because one man told me. Moses told us that. Well, how did he know?
Does he have any photos to show us? We need some proof. We believe it because one man told us.
That's right.
Ridiculous.
Yes, sir.
It's a distraction. Yes. Don't focus on it.
Right.
Avoid vain and doubtful disputations.
Right.
They lead to all kinds of other things. I've never, this is a faith walk. It has always been a faith walk. But people don't even know what faith is. They confuse faith with hope, right? Faith is real. And God vindicates his word, right? So I'm not blindly following anything. God is vindicating his word to me every step of the way. He's revealing it to me, and then it happens, right? So I could care less about an explanation. I could care less about some kind of a mental argument that somebody could come up with. Well, did we really attack the Twin Towers? And did we bring that down ourselves? And this couldn't happen. Man never did land on the moon. And, you know, that flag and the way it's waving, there's no wind on there. And that couldn't really happen. This was staged, right? You're stupider than I thought. At that time, the Russians were watching us land on the moon. You think if we didn't really land on the moon that they would have let us get by with that? Oh, I see, the conspiracy was so big, they were in on it. Listen, we've got the truth. We've got the revealed word. Don't look at shoulda, woulda, coulda, maybe, doubtful imagination. Don't even go there. These are just distractions. We've got thus saith the Lord. And it's vindicated, it's proven. And it's still being vindicated. And the church says,
amen.
So troubles will arise in the church. They have to.
Right.
Troubles will arise in the family, on the workplace, and in the world. And the point is to try to pull our focus from the revealed word, which is changing us from glory to glory, and will ultimately change our bodies.
Amen.
Satan wants us to gaze upon our troubles. He wants us to look off into the darkness. So that trouble is what we're possessed by. But I don't want to look at the serpent. I want to look at the word.
Amen.
If it's dark out there, it's light somewhere else.
Right.
I want to look at the light.
Amen.
What you're gazing upon is what you become.
Yes.
So our focus is the revealed word. Amen?
Yes.
And in that word is supernatural power. And you've come along too late to tell me that it isn't the truth, because God's done vindicated it. In fact, we had a court trial. It was preached several times by our prophet back in the 60s. There was a trial. And he brought Mr. Skeptic, and he brought this one, and brought that one. And he challenged him. And he even stood before 300 ministers at one time, or however many it was, and said, you know what? I challenge you to take the Bible, stand on my right side, show me where I'm wrong. He said, quietest bunch you ever saw. He said, I wasn't giving them much credit. They had more intelligence than I thought they did. Because none of them came up. Why? Because the word was on trial.
Right.
And the word was proven.
Right.
The word was vindicated.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So you can't come along 50 years later and say, that court case was no good.
Right.
Now I want to, you know, relitigate that court case. It's over.
Right.
There were witnesses then, eyewitnesses.
Right.
That's the time to dispute it, not now.
Right.
Where were they then?
Right.
You know that. I'm sorry that I'm going this direction, but I just feel led to go this way tonight. The thing that gets me about these so-called smarty pants that are so revelated now, that they can tell you everything that's wrong with this message. Actually, they're criticizing you, and they're criticizing Christ the Word. And it has to happen. This Word has to be crucified once again, has to bear a reproach. But the thing about it is, the people that set themselves up, first of all, they are more dedicated to disproving it than they ever were to living it and standing for it. Now they're super dedicated. Right? To find fault with it. Right? But just think about it for a moment. They were living a lie according to their own testimony for 30, 40 years. And now you're supposed to believe them? And there's no vindication? And what are they going back to?
Right.
Who wants to go back to that?
Right.
I've been set free from that. There's power in this word to keep you. Leave my message alone. It's just fine. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Just have as much sense as Lot did. Lot couldn't see it. Lot's testimony was Abraham said that God said. Abraham said that God said. And one day it just wasn't enough for him. And God was fixing to move in Abraham's life. But unbelief was in the way. And the word calls for a total separation from unbelief. And we don't want to separate. It's just not in us to want to do that. But the word will bring the separation. So Lot and his family go away. But Lot wasn't criticizing Uncle Abraham. Lot wasn't fighting against the message of Abraham. He was just saying, I couldn't see it. Right? And yet there was a place for Lot and his people. Right? Type of the foolish virgin. So Lot didn't go away mad. He just went away. And since he didn't fight against the message, Abraham was able to intercede for him. That become play the part of a Messiah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So our focus is the revealed word. And in that word is supernatural power. And friends, I am absolutely positive that it's being underestimated. Among us. We don't mean to, but it is. There's power in this revealed word. Supernatural power. And it empowers us, and it takes authority over our problems. There's no way we could overcome except this power was released to us. Because we're not overcoming, the word is. We're overcoming by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So this empowers us, and it carries us over our troubles. The lady sometimes will try to pull the focus of the ministries in attempts to redirect what's coming across the pulpit, a distraction perhaps. And men will try and tell the ministry to just kind of back to our point here a few minutes ago. We just want to hear about the Jesus of history. You know, just tell us about the Jesus of history. There's a time for that, and there's a place for that. But Paul said, going beyond baptisms and this and that and the other, the milk, let's go on to the meats, right? Because a look back ministry won't change anybody. You're not changed by what was, you're changed by what is. Men will even be challenged to focus on just a portion of the word rather than to take the whole thing. But the whole revealed word is preparing us for a rapture. I won't keep you much longer. Nehemiah built a pulpit one time, and he used that pulpit to bring an understanding to the people that were listening in that day, that were called of God under that ministry. And God has set up a pulpit today, friends, to bring rapturing faith to a people who are going to take a rapture. He's bringing it. He's providing it. Amen. None of us had it. None of us could have figured it out. But it's the hour. It's the time. It's the season.
Amen.
So no wonder the devil wants to pull the focus from the pulpit from one direction to another. Even distract us. Oh, let's talk about blood moons. Well, how's that helpful? The bride is the moon, and the blood is in the bride. Okay, can we move on now? There's your blood moon. Prophet said that, by the way. Oh, but there's some other sign, and if you miss that sign, you're going to... We've been given our last sign.
Right. Amen.
What I'm looking for is sons and daughters of God coming to maturity.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm looking for Christ the Word having preeminence in a body. When we see that, we know that we're just moments away, friends. So the devil wants to pull the focus different ways. But the word declared himself, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The brass serpent was lifted up, and so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And it doesn't matter what your need is or what your question is. The message of the hour, the revealed word of this hour, is the answer to whatever your need is, whatever your question is. It'll heal broken homes. It'll save your family. It'll save you. It'll deliver you. It'll repair broken lives. It'll set you free from besetting sins. It'll repair lives. It'll make believers out of you. It'll transform you. Not just turn you into some other kind of a believer. It'll transform you. So if we lift up the Son of Man, we will see power flowing from our lives. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So John was preparing a way for the coming of the Lord, the first coming. And John, as Jesus said himself, he was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, because he was not prophesying in part of the coming of the Lord, but he was literally preparing the way. And then he was given the important task of identifying that lamb and then introducing that lamb. So John unveiled the greatest power that ever came to the earth and introduced the headship of the Word that would later bleed and die and become our Savior and become our Redeemer. In 1933, a light came down over the Ohio River where Brother Branham was baptizing the 17th person, I believe it was, and a voice spoke from heaven saying, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of the Lord, so will your message forerun his second coming. Yeah. That sounds pretty important to me. Does it to you? So this ministry, it ministered unto us an entrance into the kingdom that brought power back into the church. The word was what was missing, and in the word is the power. So this heavenly kingdom now has to be taken by force. It's ours, but we've got to take it. We've got to possess it. So the law and the prophets, they foretold of a coming kingdom. But now, since Elijah, this kingdom is to be taken by force. In other words, friends, the devil isn't going to freely let you take what you need from this meeting here tonight. Whatever you need here tonight, you're going to have to take it. He's going to fight you. And you're going to have to wrestle and take what God has given you by force.
That's good.
And the devil's going to say, you can't have it. And you've got to know that it's yours. Yeah. Except not only can I have it, but you're going to give it to me. The blessings of the kingdom are here tonight. Is that right? We now press through all unbelief until we press into what God has for us in our lives. Friends, isn't that how it is with sickness? First thing that happens is symptoms come on you. Right? And if you're not careful, you'll go through the first, second, and third pull of those symptoms. And you know, there's something that they call psychosomatic illnesses. It's a term that they come up with. But what that means is you've actually convinced yourself you're sick to the point where you are sick. Right? You are what you profess. What you believe is what you are. You say you're sick long enough, you'll be sick.
Right.
Now, there's a fine line there. Because, yeah, we recognize the symptoms, right? But what we do is we say, that sickness has no part in me.
Right?
Right.
Right.
I don't have to accept this sickness. Right. I'm in a battle right now. These symptoms are coming upon me, but guess what? They're lying vanities. Because the Word has already said something different. The Word has already said, by His stripes I'm healed. The Word has already said, I'm delivered. The Word has already said, the enemy is defeated. The Word has already said that I would that you would thrive in health, even as or prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Right? So you're in a battle. And the battle is, These symptoms are coming upon you. And when you're feeling those symptoms and you're in a battle, those symptoms are saying, oh, come on, who are you kidding? You know, you're sick. And if you're like some people that tragically they've spent their whole life, the only way they get attention is to get sick. I grew up in a family like that, you know. I remember one time it's just that after a while you feel like an idiot believing people because you get hoodwinked so many times. So I remember my aunt, supposedly something happened and she was kind of paralyzed in one of her legs. I think it was her right leg, but it doesn't matter. Let's just say it was her right leg, right? And so that's what I was told. And so she's doing this. And I remember getting around her and, you know, they got to look at you and kind of, I'm dying, you know, and you're supposed to, oh, you poor little thing, right? And so she's dragging this leg, right? And then later on the day, it's the other leg. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't believe I fell for that, right? I grew up with that. It just, I don't get it myself, but there are people that they glory in their sickness. They get attention, right? But you want to glorify him, don't you?
Yes.
How you doing? Good.
Yes.
Oh, but you're lying. You don't feel good. I don't care how I feel.
Right.
I'm doing good.
Yes.
And I'm going to walk in that.
Yes.
I'm going to say that and I'm going to walk in it.
Yes.
I'm handing it back to the devil. I refuse to accept. So, in other words, you're pressing into
right. What
God has already given you.
Yes.
It belongs to you, but you've got to take it.
Yes.
The violent, the energetic, they take it by force. You've got to press into it. And the church says,
amen.
Hallelujah. So an entrance has been ministered unto us abundantly, as Peter said, but you've got to take it. Again, fellowship by redemption. Brother Brown says, then when God lets your spirit loose, it picks up what? It comes out of the sixth dimension into the fifth cosmic light. It comes out of the light into petroleums, out of petroleum into the senses. And here you are back on the earth again, a brand new person, not old and broke down, never to be sick. Your hair will never turn gray, thank the Lord. I was telling my wife this morning, you know, when your hair starts to turn gray, it does funny things. You know, it flies this way and flies that way and sticks up. And you're like, who told you to stand up, you know? I thought I wet you down. This morning I come to the pulpit and I'm standing here and there's just like one hair, you know. There happened to you one hair and it's tickling you and you can't find it. And you're feeling around for it. And you don't want to bring attention to that, but it's just one hair. I'm so glad that there's a head of hair that I'm not going to have to deal with. It's like a little mosquito or something, you know. You'll never be sick. Your hair will never turn gray. You'll never be wrinkled. You'll never separate no more. You'll never die. You'll never be hungry. You'll never have a worry. You'll walk with your loved ones. And you'll shake their hands. And you'll eat and you'll drink. And you'll build houses and inhabit them. And live forever and forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's what you've got this morning. Why? Because you heard the word of God. Don't underestimate the value of revelation in your life. It means more to you than anything else. It's because you heard the word of God. And there's power in that word to make it come to pass. Can you imagine what shape Rahab the harlot would have been in if she had never heard the word? She was a citizen of Jericho. And she was behind the walls of that city. Now, we may not understand because we weren't living in that day, but what we need to understand here this evening is that God couldn't make a covenant with her because he couldn't call her outside of the walls of that walled city. Therefore, a member of a walled city could not respond to the Jubilee trumpet when it sounded. Because you were a citizen of that walled city. You couldn't come out. Right? So God had two ministering angels that he sent to go into that city to preach to this little Gentile lady. She had to hear the word. And when they preached the word to her, They carried to her the ability for her to change her dwelling place. She couldn't change her dwelling place on her own. But they brought an ability to her for her to change her dwelling place, and it was based on the word that she heard. She heard the word that allowed her to turn from being a harlot in Jericho to becoming a virgin by casting aside all that she was. She heard a word that freed her from her first birth identification so that she could outwardly display a sign that said that she was of another kingdom, so that she could display that token. And she put out of her house a token sign that said, life is in this place. And I don't have to die with all of these others. And this token is proof of that. Friends, the word has offered to you and I this evening, in this hour, grace to change our citizenship from one kingdom to another. We were once held in bondage by our thoughts and how we viewed things. You know, as we've been through, we've brought several messages on it. You can't live higher than you think. People say, think outside of a box. Well, how ludicrous is that? You're in the box. How can you think outside of the box when you're in the box? How can you think higher thoughts? Except higher thoughts come to you. Oh, thank God for higher thoughts. So we were held in bondage by our thoughts, by how we viewed things, but the grace of God allowed the preaching of the word to come into our lives and minister to us and give to us higher thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen. And we found something open to us by the preaching of the word. What you gaze upon is what you become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're no good, you're no good. But what if a higher thought comes and says, you're not no good, you're good. You're not worthless. I paid the ultimate price for you. Amen. It's a higher thought. Amen. And in order to walk in a higher thought, you got to hear a higher thought. Amen. So we found something open to us through the preaching of the word. Light shined into the darkness of our lives. And we press as a result. And we don't stop pressing until every demon is pushed aside and every demon has lost power in our lives. Amen. Is that true? Amen. Our last enemy is death. When death is defeated, everything under it is defeated. So Rahab was elevated by the message that she received. I won't keep you much longer. Her dwelling place was changed from a mean walled city of Jericho to the house of God's bread, Bethlehem. And so is it today, friends. God has given to us a message, and it's changed our dwelling place. And it's changed the thoughts that our minds... We're now seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not walking in darkness as all others, as we once did. We're making choices. But the devil doesn't want you to know that you have a choice. God has given us power, friends, to walk by our choice and to change our dwelling place. But you first have to make the choice. And then you can change where your mind goes. And we will make wrong choices along the way. But God gives us more chances. Amen. Until we come to the place where the devil has lost all power over us. Amen. And the church says... Amen. Let me leave you with this thought here tonight. Samson made wrong choices. He gave away his secrets when he laid his head in Delilah's lap. And when we give away our secrets of this message and walk away from them, we'll lose our power. Every bit of Samson's power was identified in the head. His head was what was shaved. His eyes were put out. His eyes were in his head. So everything dealt with headship. And it looked like Samson was at the end of his road. It looked like he was without hope. But God began to deal with him again, and his hair began to grow again. And he felt back one day, as the prophet said, and felt it coming back. And that was what let him know that his covenant had not left him. Friends, he said, I will be with you always. That means when we're low. That means when we're depressed. That means when we make wrong choices. Do we make wrong choices?
Yeah.
Sure, we say, man, that was dumb. I sure paid for that one.
Sure.
He's with us when we make wrong choices. He's with us when we're on top of the mountain. He's with us. But all you need to do is reach back and feel that covenant growing. And think of the possibilities of revival in your soul. And we know that we go through cycles. It's just how it is. So a Nazirite had a certain way that they had to come in order to make things right. There was a certain approach. They had to bring a lamb and so forth. But Samson didn't have a lamb. All he had was a young boy to lead him. Samson didn't have a lamb, and so he said, Lord, I don't have a sacrifice. So I will offer myself instead as a living sacrifice. So Samson offered to God himself, and he ended up slaying more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. Friends, we make bad choices, but God gives us the opportunity to die out in order to come back and to redeem the time that we've lost. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. It ain't over till it's over. We have the right to take back all that was given to us, all that was that we've lost. We have the right to take it back, but it will take a surrendered life. It'll take a dying out. So Samson, through that, he changed his dwelling place, but it took death to bring that change for him. So is it with us tonight, friends. It will take death to change our dwelling place also. We have to die to our old citizenship. We have to die to our old headship. We have to die to the way that we look at things. We have to die to our own interpretations, our own desires, our own will. We have to be purged, purge out the old leaven. Because the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into other dimensions. Are you still listening? The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into other dimensions. But we cannot follow unless we surrender to Him. We must be yoked to Him. So when a prophet sees a vision, we know that he doesn't go to sleep, but he just breaks into another dimension. And he tells us, the Holy Spirit is here. Just press into it, he says. Friends, we don't have to wait in this age. But we do have to press into it. There's no tarrying. We're not waiting for a certain thing to happen. We just need to press in. Is that right? So a prophet looked into this other dimension, and he saw an open door. And he told us that it was open. And that we all have to press into it, preachers and laity alike. The minister presses, the bride members press at the very same time. We are pressing against darkness. Light is pressing against darkness. And an invisible audience is here tonight saying, press this battle. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Press until you break through.
Right.
Keep going.
Amen.
Brother Branham got depressed at one point. And a voice asked him, would you like to see over on the other side? And he was kind of afraid to go to the other side because his understanding was that you'd be a spook and you didn't have hands. And he'd say, oh, there's Brother Neville. Brother Neville, I'd shake your hand, but I don't have one. And the Lord allowed him to go onto the other side. And he said, I was afraid of this. When he passed into that dimension, he saw millions of his converts. And they said to him, we wouldn't be here if you hadn't oppressed. So our pressing, friends, is the very least we can do in response to what God has done for us. And it's not in vain. The work that we do for the Lord that we press into, it's not in vain. And it's a great part of the pressing against the darkness in this hour. It's done on an individual basis. Here one, there one, here one. So I thank God that there are those in this hour that are saying, I will not let darkness overtake my home. I will not let darkness overtake my church. You know, instead of talking about the problems of the church, just say, devil, you're not going to take it over. Right? And I'm not going to spend my time talking about what you're trying to do to take it over. I'm here to tell you, you can't have it. I'm here to tell you that that's my brother that you're talking about. That's my sister. We were together before the foundation of the world, and we'll be together when you're done, devil. When you're not even a memory. So you're not calling the shots. We're going to press through this. And the church says, we are laying aside every weight, and we are pressing. And we have to lay things aside, friends. Not carry them around. As we went through that short little series, we've actually got another part coming to that, Traveling Light. We have to lay things aside. Don't carry them around. The devil wants you to carry these bag of rocks around with you. We don't have to take one more step carrying any of the baggage that Satan places on us. Lay it down. Well, this happened in my past. Lay it down. Well, I'm worried about, lay it down. Live every day as if it's a brand new day. Because guess what? It is. Amen. And be in expectation in every day. Put yesterday behind you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live every day. Amen. And travel light. Yeah. Well, I don't want to get around that person because I have this funny feel. Why don't you just face that down? Say, devil, that's just you. It's not my brother. It's not me. Something's got in there, but I'm sure it's you, devil, and we're just going to squeeze you out. We're not going to carry this around. You know how many maybes and shoulda, woulda, couldas that people carry around with them? You know how many imagine, well, I don't want to get around this brother because I think he's got a problem with me. We're living in an age of the sure word. We don't have to wonder. And if you're wondering, just ask. My wife does all the time. Is there something wrong? No. Why? Because you're quiet. Why did she ask me that? Because she doesn't want there to be something wrong. Well, how come you're not talking? Well, how come you are? It's worth it, though. When you live together, you realize, you know what, if we don't address this, then she's going to imagine that I don't like her or that I have something against her, right? Imagination begins to work. The devil goes to work on it. Now you got this bag of rocks you're carrying around with you. Now it's heavy to get up in the morning. It's heavy to go. Now you're nervous getting around somebody. Why? Travel light. Take people at their word. If their word's no good, that's on them. Don't imagine. Just take amen and amen and move on. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's going to take this land and possess every divine promise. The word has already declared it. We know that darkness is on every side. We get that. We know that there's pressure everywhere. We get that. But we're commanded to press this battle. We're commanded to take this battle to our enemy and press into our inheritance to possess the gates of our enemy. Amen. And we are pressing out the darkness. That's why darkness, I am closing, but that's why darkness is getting darker. Because the light is pressing out. Whatever light was there is getting squeezed out. So darkness is becoming exceeding dark. But guess what? Light is becoming light. That little button of light that's on the inside of you tonight is pressing against the darkness. You say, well, what can this little bit do? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know what? If you're in a room that's, let's put it this way. Has anybody ever been in one of these cave trips where they turn off the light and you get to experience total darkness? I have a couple times. I don't know why I keep doing it. I should tell them, look, I'll pay you not to do that. I don't need that. You know, I know what it's like. All right, I get it. I can't see my hand. Right? I can't see anybody else. I can't see, right? But you take a little tiny bitty, itsy bitsy little match and light it. And in total darkness, that light means a whole lot. And the church says,
amen.
You don't need a big light. You just need a light. Hallelujah. So let me read this from the Messiah. Brother Branham says, oh, I want to see the church press into that place where it can come like God wants it to be. Then again, in the message, Desperations, recall Brother Branham preached the token in the morning. And then that evening of September 1st, 1963, he preached Desperations. He says, desperation, when thou seekest me with all thine heart, then I'll hear you. See, the kingdom, the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven has been preached and men press into it. You don't just stand around and say, well, pick me up by the collar, Lord, and push me in. You press into it. You get desperate between life and death. How many are willing to fight tonight? Again, he says, you see what Messiah is? Messiah is the kingdom of God, anointed ones, them anointed with the very same spirit, with the same spirit he was anointed with. One said to him one day, will my son sit at my right hand and my left hand? He said, how can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? She said, yeah. He says, well, you will, but the kingdom to sit at the right and the left hand, it's not mine to give. So it showed that we could drink the same cup of persecution. We could be called Beelzebub or whatever it might be and still be baptized with the same spirit that he's baptized with. So if he was called Messiah, which he was, because he was anointed with that Holy Spirit, and any church that's anointed with the same Holy Spirit is a Messiah, a littler, smaller God. And someday, when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that'll manifest this power in every dimension that it's supposed to be in. Hallelujah. A Messiah, an anointed one. A king to deliver. Your kings and priests. Kings to bring in. Priests to minister to. A Messiah. His sign was to follow in all ages, reflecting his light, his presence with his kingdom people. Every dimension, friends. We didn't even know that other dimension was here. Science tapped into it. And this science didn't create or discover that dimension. The dimension was already here. We just didn't know about it. We didn't know about radio waves that were traveling, sound waves that are still traveling. We didn't know about these things until this age. But now we've tapped into it. So even in the natural, we're seeing that we're tapping into that other dimension. What about spiritually? We're dimension climbers. We're going to leave this dimension. We're right now standing right next to that other dimension that's moving faster than this one. It's not governed by the speed of light. It's moving a little bit faster. We're going to move into that dimension. Dimensions have been discovered that have been here all along. And we'll pick up on that thought next time. So if we're discovering these things, if the tree of knowledge has increased and we're discovering these things in the natural, what about in the spiritual realm? Friends, all we need is one person on fire. Just one. It'll mean more than 40 revival services. Brother Branham went to some meetings one time in Chicago. I forget how many meetings he had. He had several meetings, lots of people there. One person came forward and he said, okay, now we can close these meetings. It was for that one person, right? For that light to get lit, for that fire to get stoked up. All it takes is one person. One person to press. One person to say, you know what, I don't accept this. You know what, I'm not getting up in the morning depressed. Okay, the devil has given me a lot to be depressed about, but I refuse. Because God has given me a lot to be happy about. I have a great future. My future is bright. I'm not going to hell. I'm heaven bound. I'll be there when Satan is kicked into that fiery pit, that lake of fire, right? I am blessed and highly favored. I'm living in the golden age. I'm living in the time that all nature has grown and travailed for. I'm living in the time where man is coming back into his rightful place and his rightful position. Where the power of darkness will no longer have any pull or any authority or any effect on the redeemed sons and daughters of God. That's the hour that you and I are living in. But we have to press. We have to press. It's a press to come to church. How many would admit that tonight? Sure. It's not as much of a press as maybe it is in Ecuador or, you know, some jungle place or down in South America. And, right? There are places where it's a lot harder to come. But the point is that nothing good comes easy. Right? But it's worth it. You've got to press. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to have a vision before you. You've got to have that picture before you to walk in. And you got to keep it before you every day and press. And we're being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. We're closer now than we've ever been. We're making progress. We're coming up higher. Amen? We're on the hallelujah side. Things are not dark. Oh, it's dark, but it's not dark where I'm living. Is it dark where you're at? It's never been so light. We are living in a wonderful time. And there's power here, friends. That's what I want you to get tonight. Again. And we're going to harp on this till we get through this series. And maybe after that, there's power. There's power to produce what the word has declared. We know what satanic power will produce. We know the power of getting around the wrong influence, getting around the wrong kind of people, taking some kind of a drug or whatever. We know the power. We know the power of politics. We know the power of religion. We know the power of influence. There's a greater power in this tonight than anything that's ever had a pull on you in your life. And it has the power to break every bond. It has the power to overcome in every situation. It has the power to save the worst of your loved ones. It has the power to deliver. And it ultimately has the power over death, which is our last enemy, to change your mortal body. It has the power to cause you to be an overcomer. It has the power to cause you to match what the word of God has declared concerning you. Because the power is in that word. And that word is here tonight. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Musicians, if you'd come. You love them? We got to hear it. It must be preached. As we mentioned this morning, Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch is reading stuff he doesn't understand, and Philip catches up with him and says, do you understand what it is that you're reading? And he says, no. How could I? Except there be somebody to explain it. Well, what do you think I'm doing here? The Lord sent me here. He brought him into a more perfect understanding. And when that more perfect understanding was brought to him, he says, well, there's water right there. What prevents? You know, I'm ready to do it. I see it. I'm ready to act on it. That's the key here, friends. Amen. If we're not careful, we're hearing so much. If we're not careful, you need to do what it is that you hear. You need to be obedient. You need to surrender to it. You won't hear truly, excuse me, it won't be true revelation to you until you do what you've already heard. Yeah. And when you do that, more will come. And you'll go higher and higher. And you'll see more and more of him. And less of you. But we must be sincere. And we must recognize, well, I've got a choice to make. I'm not going to be forced into this. I've got a choice to make. Am I willing to surrender to this word that's coming across my path and say, be it unto me? Lord, let that be manifested. I got rights, but I'm willing to surrender my rights. It's a choice, right? And we all face that tonight. What I'm telling you is it's a press. Well, I've received the Holy Ghost. I've arrived. No, you just entered into the battle is what you did. Now you got to press. There's nothing that's going to keep you out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you haven't been sealed. You have, but you're going to press. And you're going to press because of who you are. And what you have chosen the harder way, but it's the correct way. And we must press into it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say praise the Lord. You say, I already did. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, Lord, forgive us for the chopped up way that we might bring things sometimes. But Lord, you know the unction that's on our hearts. You know what you've placed on our hearts. And Lord, just the chaos of the age that we're living in. And yet, there's never been such a peace. There's never been such a clarity. There's confusion on every side, but you declared yourself. You're not the author of confusion. What you do is you bring peace, and you bring rest, and you bring clarity. In the midst of our trials, that peace that passes all understanding is with us. Father, we thank you for revealing to us not just the messenger that you sent to bring your word through, but revealing to us, Lord, that word to each and every one of us, to making it real to us, for quickening it, for not making us bystanders or people on the sidelines that are on the outside looking in. But right now, Lord, we're the actors on the stage in this great drama, were the masks that you've chosen to work through and work behind. And we're acting out the part of the play that you've called for us to act out in this age. And you wrote it in your word so that there's no way we would err from it. You showed us who we are in your word. And Lord, that gives us the vision of the path that you called us to walk on. That gives us the vision of our purpose and our destiny and our relationship with you and who we are and where we came from and who you are and what our relationship is with you, what we've been called to do, what our rights are as citizens, what a rest that gives to us tonight, Lord. Everything that we have need of comes from your word. You've thought of everything, and we're so thankful for that. We're so grateful. Now, Lord, help us to be more sincere. It's not that we're off living in sin, but Lord, we can kind of let up. We can kind of drift. We can kind of pull pages from the calendar, let one day turn into a next. We can let things go from day to day that ought to be dealt with, not carried on. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused as your prophet was told to, in order to walk into the fullness of the word, that he had to be more sincere. And Lord, we know without a shadow of a doubt, you were not telling him that he wasn't sincere. He was very sincere, but he was told he had to be more sincere. And Lord, if that's how it was with the messenger, how about us as well? We press. You've given us exceeding great and precious promises, but we've got to walk in them. We've got to claim them. We've got to withstand our enemy. because our enemy is going to stand at the gates of every promise and try to talk us out of it, try to tell us why we can't have it, try to tell us why he doesn't have to move away from it, try to convince us of why we have to accept sickness or mental health issues or nervousness or whatever it might be. But Lord, you've given us promises, and we want to take you at your word, and we want to walk in these things, and we want you to receive the honor and the glory. We want your word to be vindicated in our lives. We want your word to have preeminence. We want you to give the orders, and we'll carry it. We'll pack them out, as your prophet said. We want to resist the devil, resist our enemy, knowing that we have a promise that he will flee. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one. Lord, those that are listening in tonight, those that will be listening in, those that are present here, we want more of you, Lord. We want to surrender to you in a greater measure. And Lord, we want to see this revealed word. We know that eventually it will shut the mouths of the critics. But we know that there has to be a time when we believe, regardless of what's going on around us, where we'll bear a reproach. But the vindication is coming and will come. And we're confident in that tonight. I pray, Lord, that if there's any that are discouraged here tonight, Father, that you'd lift them up as only your word can. And may their focus change, Lord, from looking at the things of this life, looking at problems, looking at situations, realizing that that's just all they are. But Lord, your word is greater than any circumstance, any problem, anything that we face. Your word is power. Lord, may we look at your divine words of promise for whatever situation that it is that we're in. And may we confess what your word says, regardless of what we think or how we feel or what other people say. And we know, Lord, as we become a bedding ground for that, that that word will become flesh. That word will manifest. That word will produce the very thing that it was sent to do. Grant it tonight. Wonder if there's anyone that would want to be remembered in prayer tonight. That maybe these troubled times, the fears, the doubts, the hard situations that we go through. I wonder if there's anyone that would want to lift their hand tonight and say, Lord, I want to just lay all of that down. Realize I don't have to carry that. It's not my day to carry it. You said your yoke was easy and that your burden was light. I just want to lay this down at your feet. I don't want to carry it from one day to the next. I don't want to carry anything that I haven't been called to carry. I want to travel light. I want to surrender. I want to allow you to carry these things that you said that you would do. I want to give it to you. And I want to walk in that peace that you've given me. I want to walk in that rest. In the midst of my trials, I want to walk in that, knowing, Lord, that you're going to take me through that. If that's you, you want to just lift your hand to him tonight. Lord, you see those hands. You see those hearts. And Lord, if there's that desire, that's only because there's a way made for them to walk in that. And Lord, you promised it to us. Now we're here to take it tonight, Lord. Father, I just want to unite my faith with my brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, I want to be more sincere. I want to press more. I want to be more surrendered. I want to, Lord, overlook my feelings. Sometimes we let our feelings get involved. Sometimes we develop complexes. We're all where none of us are immune to that. And those things might delay us for a bit. They might distract us for a bit. But Lord, if I just lay it down at your feet and realize that you're my portion, Lord, and rejoice in that, and just be thankful that you're all that I have need of, Lord, that I would look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. You're the one that understands. You're the one that encourages. You're the one that strengthens. You're my problem solver. You're everything that I have need of. And Lord, rather than looking outward, may we just look to you. May we just trust you that much more, surrender to you, allow you to be those things in our lives. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Not my will, but thy will be done. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Bless each and every hand, every heart, Lord. You know the heart. Father, You've made a way for us to walk in these things, and we're going to walk in them by your grace. We're going to take you at your word. We're going to believe you. No matter what we see or how we feel or what the enemy might tell us, we're going to just take you at your word. And we know that in your word is power. Bless your people tonight, Lord, each and every one, Father, and we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the church says, amen. Amen. More. Amen. I need more of you. I need more of you. Fill. It's got to be. I need more of you. Till there's no room left in me. Amen. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from start to the finish. I need more of you. In me, is that your desire? Is that your prayer tonight? Amen. I need more of you. It's got to be. Yes, Lord, I need more of you. Till there's no room left.